We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
You ready for the Word, church? It's going to be a special day. We're going to take communion together. And so like you heard earlier in the service, if you want to grab a cracker or bread, go prepare a little juice or water or whatever. We're going to take communion together. And it's going to be great. But today, like I said, I want us to take a discovery approach to Good Friday. Let's look at the why behind the what. Why did Jesus die? Why did he take the cross? Why did he choose to lay down his life? And I know ever since I was just a little kid in Sunday school with my flannel board faith, you know what I'm talking about. The flannel board little figures being stuck on the wall and being able to see, you know, all of them were like, huh. But I had a flannel board faith and I understood what God's story was. And so from a very young age, I could say, oh, he went to the cross to, you know, for our sins, you know, and that's a simple answer, but there's so much more. There's so much more depth to it that I'd love us to just discover together. So are you ready, church? It's going to be good. Why did Jesus do that? Some may think he didn't have a choice, but actually it was his choice to make. This is very important. This is why in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, Jesus said, God, if there's any other way, if this cup could pass, I wouldn't mind that. But he also said, but your will be done. It was his choice. He chose to take the cup before him. And so it was his choice. And so why did Jesus choose the cross? You know, in John 10, it tells us this, the Father loves me, Jesus said, because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again, for this is what my Father has commanded. Look, it was his ability. No one could take his life from him. He chose to lay it down. And so that just, you know, as a kid, I remember thinking, oh, they caught Jesus. You remember when he was in the garden praying and all of a sudden Judas and the Roman soldiers come in and they get Jesus and Peter pulls out the sword and slices off an ear, ninja style. But in that moment, I thought, oh no, they caught Jesus. But then when I opened my Bible, I realized Jesus chose to go to the cross. They didn't catch him by surprise. In fact, he woke up his disciples and said, hey, the hour's upon us. They're going to betray me now. Come on. He chose to take the cross. And that's one of those things. Why did Jesus choose the cross? Number one, because of us. Because of us. Isaiah 53 says this, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I think it's important for us to understand this. He went to the cross because of us, because of what we have done, because of what our fathers, fathers, fathers have done, because of the generation of sin after sin, because of our own transgressions. It says that the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. So when I think about why did Jesus choose the cross, he chose it, number one, because of us. 1 John says in 3, it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us. And we when we say Good Friday, we say that knowing that God did something that no one else could do. Jesus did something that no one else could do. God could not have laid the iniquities of all of us on anyone else. He had to make the bridge back to himself by himself. But here's what's important. The bridge that Jesus made through the cross is still a decision we have to make whether we walk it. Whether we walk it. So why did Jesus choose the cross? Number one, because of us. For us, he chose to do this. He laid it down, and the one of these reasons was because of us. Why? Jesus chose the cross. Number two, for our intervention. For our intervention. What am I saying? We needed intervening. Our sin demanded it. Unless God himself intervened, we were all headed for condemnation. Eternal death is what we deserved. This is how we are to understand the coming of Jesus into the world and the death on the cross. This was God's supernatural intervention because of our sin-filled state. God intervened because of our fallen state, because of our sin. We were separated from God for eternity. Romans 3 tells us this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who? All. How far? Short enough. Well, I don't sin that bad. It was still short enough. Well, I'm pretty good. Yeah, but it was still short enough. Well, I don't know if I've sinned. Well, the Bible says all sinned. Are you part of all? We're all part of all. We've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so what does that mean? You just jump three chapters further in Romans 6 and it says, for the wages of sin is death. Sin equals death. The wages of sin equal death. What it means is because of sin on this earth, something had to die. And we see for centuries, we see people having to have animal sacrifices so that the blood of innocent animals could cover the sin of the fallen state of humans, humanity. And so what happens is we see sin equate to death. And we see centuries of people. This is what you need to understand. The people that were reading this, the people that were hearing this, the people that were witnessing this, they understood blood had to cover sin. They lived in a day and age where they saw it regularly. They put aside money to pay for the animal knowing they were going to mess up because they always mess up. So for them, this made total sense. For us, all these centuries later, millennia later, we get to this place where we have to remind ourselves the wages of sin equals death. And although we don't see it in our culture, God is the same yesterday and forever. So the wages of my sin still equals death, but I get to choose whether I'm going to accept the death or whether I'm going to accept Christ and what he did for me. What Christ did for me means that I don't have to. Come on. You better be hanky-waving from home if you just heard that. That's what I'm saying. So God needed to intervene. Why else did Jesus choose the cross? He chose the cross, number three, for our salvation. Look, although Jesus died for our sins, we are only saved after we believe in him and are covered by his sacrifice. Do you know that the devil believes? Do you know that the demons believe? They were the ones confessing who he was before he would let anyone else know who he was. Demons were speaking out saying, Son of God, what are you doing here? Are you here to torture us? And Jesus was saying, shut up, silence. They don't know yet. But the demons knew exactly who he was. And that's why believing, that's why knowing in and of itself isn't enough, because the demons know. But believing on Jesus Christ, choosing to say, Jesus, what you did, that was for a lot of people, but it was for me. It was for my sin. It was for my salvation. You chose to take the cross for me. Our God is a personal God who wants personal relationship. And until you may have been a Christian for decades, but until you take the step of making this confession of faith personally and living a walk of life and a walk of love and a walk of God daily, until it's relationship, is it real? Because knowing is not the same as believing. He chose the cross for our salvation, but we choose whether we're going to accept it or not. Romans 6:23, again, for the wages of sin is death, but let's finish the rest of that verse. But the gift of God is eternal life. How? In who? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Have you ever gotten up to a door? I remember as a kid, when I'd take my parents' keys to try and unlock the house door, you know, as a kid, that was some, I got this. Let me do this. I want to do it. And when I'd take the keys and I'd be trying to figure out which key it was. And that was back before there were key fobs. That was back before there were anything else. So my dad had, keys that could become a weapon. You know what I'm talking about. You know, throw it. If it breaks, it's like shrapnel. It's a grenade. No, I'm trying to figure out the key because I understand there's only one key that's going to open this door. What you need to understand is what this scripture is telling us is there's only one name above heaven, underneath heaven, on this earth, which is going to unlock that door for eternal life. God didn't do it just as some trial. He didn't do it as some exercise. He didn't do it as an experiment. He forged the one key that is going to open the door for all of humanity exclusively through the name of Jesus. That is what's so good about Friday. We found the key. We're not looking for the Messiah anymore. We know it's Jesus Christ who was crucified and raised again. He becomes the key that opens that door. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Somebody give me a hallelujah. Somebody give me a hanky wave. Somebody maybe not give high five. I don't know where you're at and where you're sitting in your mandated household situation, but listen. We have the key. It doesn't have to be more difficult. Look, when I stand at the key and my father tells me which one is the key, I can either trust him and use the key or I can try and say, I know better and try and keep finding another key to prove that I know better. I don't know better. God already knows. The Father already knows. He's already given us the key. It's up to us to choose to trust the Father and to open the door. Are you getting this? 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous and for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirits. What? Once. Once and for all. Once for both the believers, the righteous and the unrighteous, to bring you to God. This is crucially important for you to understand. See, Christ chose the cross because he knew he was only going to have to do it once. I think that's a big deal. I know that if I thought, again, this is what you need to understand this. This is something that is so, in that day and age, people have been doing animal sacrifices religiously, literally, regularly to continue to cover sins. The idea that once and for all there could be one blood sacrifice that could cover everything, that was mind-blowing. That could only be the Messiah. There could not be another. It could not be confused. It could not be messed up or mistaken. If there was such thing as a one sacrifice fits all for those who would believe, it would have to be the Messiah. We have to understand the context, people. But it was once, it was for all. Christ suffered once for sins, for both the righteous and the unrighteous, to bring you to God. What was the next reason Jesus chose the cross? Number four, to fulfill Scripture. To fulfill Scripture. Christ chose the cross to affirm the authority of Scripture by fulfilling many prophecies. We see right here in 1 Corinthians 15:3. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, what? According to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. The crucifixion of Jesus was not a historical accident. It was a carefully planned event, as indicated by Paul when he points that very thing out, that Christ's death was according to Scripture. I want to go back about 700 years prior to this very moment in history, before Jesus takes the cross and dies for our sins. About 700 years earlier, we see the prophecy of this in Isaiah 53. He says, he was was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Now, fast forward about 700 years to Matthew 27. It says, when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asking him, don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Look, if you understand that what Jesus is doing is actually, it's been something that had foresight and there was forethought, and this wasn't an accident. In fact, for the very moment that Jesus accepted coming to the earth, and the moment he was born in a manger from a Virgin Mary, the moment that he decided to stay in the temple at the age of 12 or so when his parents left and he was about his father's business, everything Jesus did to the moment that he went back in after the triumphal entry on the donkey to the flipping of the tables, everything Jesus did was calculated. And the calculation always equated to us. I don't know if you heard that, but everything Jesus ever did, he did it with you in mind. Everything he faced, what he chose to do, what he chose not to do. It was fulfilling scripture. It was fulfilling prophecy after prophecy. We see Jesus say right now, we see it in chapter 12, Jesus said, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. He said this to indicate how he was going to die. See, we talk about, man, if we just lift up the name of Jesus, right? Which is true, because the name of Jesus doesn't return void. But what Jesus was saying is, if I be lifted up on a cross, if I pay the ultimate sacrifice, I will draw all men to myself. And look at us, over 2,000 years later, gathering to press into God, to thank Jesus for being lifted up on the cross. We're literally fulfilling the prophecy in which Jesus spoke millennia and millennia later. This is exciting to me. That's what's good about Good Friday. Jesus chose the cross. He chose the cross with us in mind. He chose the cross for our sin. He chose the cross to offer us salvation. He chose the cross also to affirm the authority of his word. He fulfilled prophecy after prophecy. And I don't have time to go through them all, but there are so many things that by Jesus being calculated and fulfilling the scripture, all it did is confirm the previous scriptures. Number five, Jesus chose the cross to fulfill his purpose. We all have a purpose in this world. We all have a purpose. God, as a creator, he creates. And the same is true today. No one creates something without a purpose for the creation. We know that Jesus always was. We know that Jesus is part of the triune nature, the triune God, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, let's create, and what did it say? It said, let's create man in our image. We know Jesus was there from the very beginning. The hour would be with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just as the Spirit was hovering on the ocean depths, we see time and time again, he was there from the beginning. But when he came to this earth, it was with purpose in mind. In the same way, we have to understand we were created on purpose, for purpose. We too have to fulfill a purpose. And our purpose will never be fulfilled outside of who God is. It'll never be fulfilled outside of the leading and the pressing of the Holy Spirit. It'll never be fulfilled until we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and begin to walk the faith walk with him. But Jesus, he chose the cross to fulfill his purpose, to finish it, like I said earlier, for once and for all, to finish it once and for all. Tell your neighbor on the couch, once and for all. Tell your kid half paying attention on the floor, once and for all. Oh, that's good. John says this in 12. It says, now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. This is what Jesus is literally saying. He says, but for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. For this purpose, I came to this hour. We live in uncertain times. We don't understand why, but for this hour, I came. For this hour, God, you created me for this time. And I don't understand. When I look around, the world has gone mad. When I look around, nothing seems stable. When I look around, everything seems uncertain, but you are certainly in control. And for this hour, you put me on this earth. And so I will continue to walk out my faith. I will continue to believe that you have purpose, that you're going to have something good come out of the end of this. And although all I hear is fear mongering, all I hear are negative things, I know, God, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. And you never stop working. See, I'm telling you, God has created us with purpose. And the same way Jesus says, look it, this is hard. God, what I'm about to do, you and I both know this is really hard. But even though my soul is troubled, what am I going to say? Father, save me from this hour. You've created me for this hour. It's for this very purpose, this very hour, I am here. That is what's so good about Good Friday. Jesus didn't decide to pass the cup. He didn't decide to say, just save me from this. He said, I will take it because it's for this very purpose. Can I tell you, we always think our purpose is going to be something that feels good. God never promised a feel-good purpose. He promised a purpose for good. For good. God, I don't feel good right now. The world doesn't feel good right now. I thought my purpose was going to feel better than this. And God says, good is going to come out of it, but I never said it was going to feel good. I said, press on. I said that you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I said that all things are possible. I didn't say that all things were easy. I didn't say that all things felt good. For this purpose, Jesus came. Hebrews 9:26. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world, but he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. He knew his purpose. He knew that his purpose, once and for all, was to defeat sin. It was to be the sacrifice that would cover all. And he chose to fulfill his purpose. Hebrews 9 says, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, he already did that, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. My question is, are you waiting for him? Not waiting, twiddling your thumbs, waiting because you're working because of purpose. Waiting, understanding, God, I don't know if you're coming today, tonight, tomorrow, but I'm going to continue to work like it's the last hour I have. I'm going to be bold and speak to that coworker. I'm going to be bold and pray for that person. I'm going to social distance some serious Jesus. I'm not just going to socially isolate. I'm going to socially distance by staying faithful to the purpose you have for me. God, I know that you have purpose in this time. You know, I thought about it. I believe on the other side of this thing that we're living in, there are going to be plenty of people that wish they could go back to that time with their family, that they could invest that much time again with their family, that they could spend that much more time to be able to talk about all that God has done. We need to make sure that we're capitalizing on the time that we're spending, that we understand the purpose. We don't know the day or the hour when Jesus will return, but I know that it is purposeful. This minute is purposeful. The fact that we're together right now, we are being able to execute the purpose of spreading the gospel, the good news of who Jesus is. We are being able to fulfill our purpose just as Jesus did that day. Again, in that day, the hearer would have certainly understood the author's points of what once and for all covering sin would be. Sin atonement, what a radical thought that could have been that day. It could have only been from a true Messiah. That's exactly what Jesus was, the true one and only Messiah. That's exactly what he did. He finished it once and for all. John 19, when Jesus had tasted it and said it, he said, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. As I close my message tonight, number 6, Jesus chose the cross to begin a new covenant. What's the word covenant mean? We've heard new covenant. We've heard new testament. It's really a new promise or a new agreement. The Old Testament, the old covenant was based on works. The new covenant was based on faith in Christ. And Jesus chose the cross because he knew the joy that awaited him, the joy that was set before him when he saw the cross, was knowing that he would be back at the right hand of the Father, but that a new time, a new era, a new age would be here, an age or an era of grace where Jesus intercedes on our behalf because of what he did for us. Matthew 26 says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples saying, take, eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks. And look at it says, and gave it to them and saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, the new agreement, the new testament, the new promise, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The new era of grace we live in allows us to be saved from our past, from our present, and our future sin. God knew we couldn't live a perfect life. In fact, the Old Testament proved that. The Ten Commandments, all that God required of us to do to stay holy, it was proof that we could not be holy and that he would have to send one that would make us righteous, that we could choose to believe on Jesus for what we couldn't do. It was proof that we needed a Savior, and so he sent a Savior. We need a Savior. The beginning of an amazing grace that we would begin to experience through the Messiah Jesus, a new covenant, a new arrangement Jesus made on our behalf. The only one that could make it. He made a new arrangement with God on our behalf. We cannot receive salvation if we do not acknowledge our needing to be saved, our need for saving. I understand, God, I need saving. I understand my sin has separated us. I understand, not the whole Bible, but I know that Jesus was sent for me. Once we understand and acknowledge our need for saving and that Jesus is the only key that opens the door, we can experience that. Easter is indeed about an empty tomb, but first, it's about the cross. See, Jesus chose the cross. He endured the cross because of the joy set before him. There's no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. There's no resurrection without the cross. God gives us the choice. We can choose to accept his son and what Jesus did for us. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Begotten meaning that it came from him, his only son. He gave because of love. He gave his son to die on a cross for us because of love. And today I want to offer you the opportunity to accept God's love. To accept him is to open that door for eternal life.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.